Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. We've got our Start Sit show for week 3, and we've got a great guest on. It's Pat Fitzmaurice, host of the Fitz on Fantasy Podcast and contributor to footballgirl.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Pat, thanks for coming to the show. How's it going?
Great, Bobby. Always good to be on with you and Tags. Really excited about the week. Wish it wasn't so, just so much carnage with injuries already. That kind of sucks. But other than that, great to be into the season and looking forward to talking to you guys.
And Tags, you said that there's another quarterback injury that just surfaced.
There is. Cam Newton, we've kind of known that Cam Newton was dealing, he apparently re-aggravated his foot injury. He's now in a walking boot, and they're saying that if he does not practice today, it's very unlikely that he plays. So I would start to be prepared to not have Cam Newton this week, which it made me think about a question I wanted to ask you guys before we get started today. I wanted to ask you, if we were going to do a redraft right now, okay, knowing what we know about the quarter position, knowing about all these injuries, and we're going back to week one, where do you draft Patrick Mahomes? Like, because I was someone that was saying, I don't want to draft him in the first 3 rounds. If you get him in the 4th round, that's fine. But because I was unwilling to say that one, a sample size of one season was not enough. And now I'm like, I think I would draft Patrick Mahomes at the end of the 2nd round. I'm not lying right now.
Dang.
Oh, man. I was thinking like early to mid seconds. I mean, the guy is not of this earth. He is just unbelievable. You know, everyone talking about inevitable regression on the touchdown total and what he's on pace for more than 50 touchdowns this year. I mean, making it work without Tyreek Hill, the guy is just a machine. And, I would be willing to grab him early in the 2nd and make it work at the other positions now. We're continuing to see the running back by committee dominates. And, we've seen a lot of the wide receiver ones lose value already with quarterback injuries, Juju, Michael Thomas.
Mike Evans hasn't been very good.
Yeah, exactly. So just to get that ace quarterback where you get the huge positional advantage, and believe me, I'm certainly a wait on quarterback guy, but I did not see this sort of an encore performance coming from Mahomes.
I don't think I can do it, guys. I would still take him in like the mid 3rd round. I'll just wait until the 8th round and grab Matt Ryan. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is great, but let's not forget that there's still a handful of very good quarterbacks behind him. And I don't believe that Patrick Mahomes' touchdown rate is going to stay above 9.0. I'm sorry, I don't believe it.
Bobby, you're going to go on another rant next week.
I will die on this hill. It's not going to happen. It has never happened. It never will happen. If he finishes above 7.0, I won't be surprised. That would still break history. But he's not finishing above 9.0.
No, I don't think he's going to finish above 9.0, but still, he's just ridiculous. You just stick him in your lineup every week.
All right, guys, we don't really have too much news to talk about. I mean, Jalen Ramsey getting traded potentially for 2 first-round picks, which would be amazing, doesn't really have a ton to do with fantasy, and it's just speculation at this point. So let's get right into Start Sit. But first, I want to tell you about a Start Sit tool that we have called the Start Sit Assistant. You know, every single Thursday when I'm doing my Start Sit decisions, and then Sunday morning, Saturday nights as well, whenever I'm getting around to it, I can't imagine not using the Start Sit Assistant because it just saves me so much time. I don't have to go to Yahoo, ESPN, CBS Sports, all of these websites to enter lineups for different leagues. Instead, I can just go to My Playbook and it's going to give me advice for each one of those leagues all on one page. And it's super simple. It's going to give you a star rating for each matchup and it's going to tell you what the consensus experts think. So if I'm trying to decide between Adrian Peterson and Jalen Samuels, it's going to tell me 85% would start Adrian Peterson. 10% would start Jalen Samuels, 5% would start Malcolm Brown, something along those lines. That way you're not having to make the decisions on your own. Check out the Start Sit Assistant at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. And that's only for premium members. If you want to go premium, check out our great offers at fantasypros.com/offers. Okay, guys, so here's how it's going to work. We're going to start at the running back position and just talk about guys who were on the fringe. You know, guys we're actually getting questions about, not like, hey, should I start Saquon Barkley this week against Tampa Bay? Well, duh, nobody needs to hear that. So we'll get the guys we're getting questions on. And it's just going to be running backs maybe 17 through 40. I don't think anyone really deeper than that. Tags, do you have anyone deeper than that that you think's a great start? I mean, even Frank Gore is in the top 40 this week.
Yeah, I mean, he should be. Frank Gore deserves to be in the top 25 this week. I mean, if there's someone that's deep outside the top 40 that you can maybe consider as a flex play this week, it's Tony Pollard. I've been all like the Tony Pollard hater on this show, and someone that I didn't feel like he'd walk into like a giant workload, but he has received 32% of the touches in the backfield through 2 weeks, and the Dolphins opponents have averaged 37 running back touches per game against them. The Cowboys are 22 point favorites now, so that would amount to roughly 12 to 13 touches versus the Dolphins, and that could be absolutely on the flex radar this week. So if you're looking for like an emergency guy that might be available in your league, Tony Pollard.
Keyword emergency. I agree, Tags. I've got him in my top 45. I don't think he's a bad play against Miami. I don't know. I guess there is upside against Miami. Pat, what do you think about this? Like, how many touches is Pollard actually going to get? Or are they just going to run Zeke into the ground like they always have?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring him up because I really struggled on where to put him. And knowing that he could fall into possibly 13 or 14 carries if the Cowboys are salting this one away by early, mid-third quarter. But always try to avoid making assumptions about game script when I'm doing rankings.
Except for when they're playing the Dolphins.
Yeah, good Lord. I mean, when is the last time? You rarely see 20-point spreads in the NFL. We've actually got two this week. That is just insane with Jets-Patriots. And yeah, I mean, I think you have to assume that this is going to be a cakewalk for the Cowboys. But man, I had a really hard time sneaking Pollard in the top 50 anyway. I think I've got him at 51 right now. I'll probably cave on that and move him up a little bit as we get closer to kickoff. But boy, I'd still feel pretty uncomfortable getting him in a starting lineup just based on a garbage time projection.
So guys, Tags and I actually did a bet surrounding this. So, you know, Tags, he's a big cheater when we do these bets and stuff. I'm sitting like doing my grocery shop and I get a text from him. He's like, hey, who do you think's going to win by more this week? Dallas or New England? And at this point, I had forgot like New England played the Jets and the Jets had everybody hurt. I was like, Dallas is like 21, 22 point favorite. So I'm definitely picking Dallas. So I said that. He's like, you want to bet on it this week? Okay, sure. And then I got home and I realized the Patriots are even bigger favorites. So Tags and I have a bet. Tags is already cheated, but it's okay. I've got Dallas. He's got New England winning by more. And the loser has to get a face tattoo.
Yeah, of the other person's choice. So basically what's going to happen is we're going to go to the store and I'm going to take a picture of the tattoos that are, or he's going to take a picture of the tattoos that are available, and I'm going to tell him which one to buy that he has to put on his face. It might be a unicorn. It might be a rainbow.
I mean, hypothetically, that's what would happen if I lost. But like what's actually going to happen is I'm just going to tell you which one to get.
Yeah, and if that happens, then I'll be wearing that. We're going to be doing it on the live stream next week. Tuesdays, we have a live stream on the YouTube channel, and one of us will be wearing a face tattoo.
By the way, our YouTube channel is youtube.com/fantasypros. We do 3 live streams during the week, a couple videos as well, so subscribe so you don't miss any of that content. We have a lot of fun over there.
I'm not going to miss that one.
Like, this is a gift to the listeners. If, for whatever reason, let's say that they both win by 24 points, we both have to pay off the bet.
So I don't know which way is better to go. Like, should we do like a really tough looking dragon tattoo, like a Mike Tyson type of thing?
I'm not doing that. I'm gonna give you like a My Little Pony.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think that's a better bet too.
You need to go full face and show up looking like Tekashi or whatever that rapper's name is.
I don't even know who these people are.
I don't even know who that is. I don't know if you're pulling my leg about if that's a real person.
I've seen some of the rappers that my daughter listens to, and I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay, guys, keeping with the running backs, we've got Chris Thompson against Chicago. He really didn't do much this week. I think he's a definite sit. I can't really see anybody starting him. Can you guys?
Boy, you would really have to be scratching it out at the running back position to start him.
Yeah, like, would you rather pick up Frank Gore or Chris Thompson?
I've got Thompson one spot ahead of Gore, both just barely in the top 40.
Yeah, I've got Gore nine spots higher. Tags, you probably have him higher than that.
Oh, I have Gore as my RB23.
So can you, wow, 23. So can you explain this for people listening at home? Because they probably think you're crazy right now, even though you are right. I mean, it's a really good argument. You convinced
Devin Singletary is out for this game. He's got a hamstring issue. We obviously know that LeSean McCoy is gone. TJ Yeldon has been inactive for the first 2 weeks. So they're going to activate him for this game. He's a fine pass catcher, whatever. But they're going against a Bengals team that was just like legitimately demolished by the 49ers run game, and that was without Joe Staley for much of the game. So their starting left tackle got hurt, broke his leg, out. He's out for like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. No Tevin Coleman either, obviously. They were using like Jeff Wilson.
Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, and Jeffrey Wilson combined for 244 yards in the ground, two touchdowns. That's on 36 carries. They also had another 84 yards and a touchdown through the air. Through 2 weeks of the NFL season, the Bengals are allowing over 40 PPR points per game to running backs. It's not just on the ground, it's through the air, it's everything.
It's not like big runs either. It's like, okay, he goes for a 5-yard run and two guys miss super easy tackles and he goes for 15.
Yes, and keep in mind that game the Bengals just played was at home. Like, at home they allowed that to the 49ers. Like, the team can't tackle. I went back and watched that game again just this morning, actually, and they just looked terrible. I don't even know how else to put it. So in week one against Seattle, they had somewhat of a surprise element because they had a new defense scheme there, and now that it's on tape, now that people have seen it, now that they see the lack of talent on that Bengals defense, they're going to attack it. And you know, the Bills coming home, a team right now that's just, they're 2-0. I mean, the Bills, they're going to run the ball. We had Frank Gore last week finish with 83 total yards and a touchdown as a top 10 option. Here, I'm not saying that you have to start him as an RB1, but starting him over guys like Miles Sanders, who struggled, starting him over guys like Damian Williams, who's playing against Baltimore, a really tough run defense. Damian Williams is a little banged up. Playing him over guys like that, I'd be willing to take the floor of Frank Gore this week.
All right, guys, we're going to keep moving in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about NFL Game Pass. Only with NFL Game Pass can you replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches like DJ Chark's amazing snag last week, wild comebacks, the breakout stars from every game. That way you can see, hey, are these players legitimate or was it just blown coverage? You can do this every single week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. I'll tell you what, I'm most excited to go back and rewatch Miles Sanders from last weekend. He just looks so special when he has the ball in his hands. They don't give him the ball enough, but I love watching Miles Sanders play football. With NFL Game Pass, I can either replay the full broadcast version of the game or the entire game in only 45 minutes, which is what I like to do with condensed games. If you haven't watched condensed games yet, you're going to love it. You're going to have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and all my waiver wire pickups all season long. Does Baker have what it takes to get the Browns to the Super Bowl? Is Patrick Mahomes going to throw for 60 touchdowns this season? Is Carson Wentz going to lead the Eagles back to the top of the NFC? To see all the action this season and stay on top of all these big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. And best of all, we've got a special offer for a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Sign up now at NFL.com/fantasypros. So we're going to do it a little different this week. I'm going to give you guys five names. You tell me if any of them are start worthy. Adrian Peterson face Chicago. Rashad Penny face New Orleans' great run defense. Kenyon Drake at Dallas. He's in Miami. It doesn't really matter what the matchup is. Latavius Murray at Seattle. Not a great matchup. Teddy Bridgewater's the quarterback. Offensive line doesn't look very good. Rex Burkhead face the Jets. Do you like any of those, Pat?
I think of those guys, I have Peterson as the most startable. Like, he's very low-end RB3, high-end RB4, I guess, mid-30s. at running back just because I think he's going to get the work. And as we know, it's not real high value touches for him. There's not going to be a lot of goal line work, presumably, with the Washington offense, which just, you know, isn't that effective. And he's not going to catch many passes. So you're just hoping for sort of that empty calorie 15 carry game that nets maybe 60 some yards and pray that he punches one in.
I don't know if he's getting that if they're playing from behind. That's just not how Washington used him last year. Like,
I know.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It is a desperate situation. I've got him outside my top 36, so it would be ugly if you had to play him. I've got Latavius Murray just inside of it. But again, I would rather play guys like Frank Gore. Peyton Barber faced the Giants. I don't love that one, but I'd rather play him. So
I would do it too.
Mostert against Pittsburgh. Do you like any of those five tags?
Wait, you're playing Mostert over him?
I would over Murray. You're not?
I'm not. So I want to be clear about this. I just mentioned I rewatched that game. I think Raheem Mostert might be the best running back in the 49ers roster. Matt Breida is good, but he has trouble staying healthy. And obviously Shanahan is unwilling to give him a massive workload. Mostert, when on the field for that team, he's been really freaking good. Like, even going back to last year,
he looked amazing in the preseason too.
Yeah, and Mostert is a really good running back. I think he's better than Tevin Coleman. Like, he may not be better than Matt Breida, because Breida, when he's on the field and healthy, Breida's actually a really good running back. But Mostert, he's involved more in the passing game. But I do not ever want to trust Kyle Shanahan with my running backs ever again. And I know some people are like, Matt Breida wasn't a disappointment last week. I would say he was a disappointment in a game. He only had 13 of 41 running back fullback touches. That's like,
well, yeah, they're up 30 points, man, and he's super fragile. Why would they use him?
We're talking, what are we looking for then? Like, what's the best case scenario with Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert? Like, they're going to split touches. Like, I think Breida is the one to start, but Mostert to me is more like an RB4 that I don't feel great about.
Oh, wow. Okay. ECR, by the way, expert consensus rankings, if you're a new listener, that's, you know, the industry analysts as a whole have Raheem Mostert ranked RB31 this week. So ahead of Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde, Tariq Cohen. I don't have him that high, but I'd rather play him than Peyton Barber, than Latavius Murray. I mean, Latavius Murray, I love him, but without Drew Brees there, how often are they going to be on the goal line? I guess they're gonna run the ball a lot more, but you can't run the ball against Seattle very well.
Yeah, Pat, where are you at on this? So how are you feeling? Let's just talk about the Saints run game for a second. Obviously, everybody's starting Alvin Kamara, but are you worried with Teddy Bridgewater as a starting quarterback? Do you think it really affects the run game as much as maybe it does Michael Thomas?
I do. I worry about the overall output of that offense. Seattle's defense, the personnel might not be great, but I think that's still a really difficult place to play. So I would not start Murray this week. He's barely in my top 50. I don't know what the touch total is going to look like with him. I think they might ramp up the Kamara usage even a little bit more, since he's really the only thing that offense has going for it. If Bridgewater can't ignite the passing game, and I have serious doubts that he can. So yeah, Murray is a major fade for me this week. And for the record, I have Mostert 34th right now. I'm a little behind ECR on him. It's a three-man backfield still with Jeffrey Wilson. You know, he's going to steal a few touches too. So not entirely comfortable starting Mostert this week, although, you know, not a horrible flex option if you're in kind of a bad spot.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to say this when I introduced you, Pat. This is for the listeners at home, not to just, you know, give you praise or whatever. But when you guys are hearing Pat talk about these start-sit decisions, realize that he's been one of the most accurate experts virtually every single year. I know it's only 2 weeks, but right now he's number two. Last year, he was number 13. The year before that, he finished number two. The year before that, he was also extremely high. I mean, every single year, Pat is extremely accurate. So top 20, which, Pat, you were probably disappointed about, but most of these, I mean, 150 people in the competition, most people would love to be top 20 for their worst year. It's incredible what you've been doing, Pat. And when you're hearing this, it's kind of important, guys. I'm always adjusting my rankings when we have Pat on for the show.
No, it is. And I just want to say, so Pat and I do this annual thing where we go golfing the week of week one. And we were talking, and he told me that the one player that he was higher on than everybody else, and he was fine with it, was TJ Hockenson. And after Hockenson went out and like legitimately like destroyed the league in week one, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, Pat,
why didn't I just listen to him?
I should have moved Hockenson up into my top 12, because he told me he had him as a top 12 tight end going into the year. So yeah, Pat knows things.
All right, could we have talked about this before Hockenson had 7 yards in week 2 or whatever? But no, that's okay. But thanks.
OJ Howard didn't have anything, so.
You know who I had a lot higher on my rankings than everybody else by like 30 spots? Raheem Mostert. That's one thing I got right, apparently. I watched him in the preseason, and I'm like, it's Kyle Shanahan. Like, he's going to get a bunch of carries. I don't know if he's ever going to be startable, but you guys are going to give me one of this group. Peyton Barber against the Giants. Tariq Cohen against Washington. Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, both against the Chargers. Which of these four do you most want, Pat?
Duke, Hyde, and Cohen are grouped very closely for me. I chickened out and put Johnson and Hyde just together. I know Hyde out-touched Duke, but, you know, with Duke getting the passing game work, his touches, I think, mean a little more. And I've got Duke just ahead of Hyde. He's 32. Hyde's 33. Cohen's 35 for me.
That's exactly where ECR is, by the way.
I'm not kidding. I have Duke Johnson at 32, Hyde 33, and I have Cohen at 34. Where do you have Barber?
Wow. I've got him at 40.
Oh, wow. So you're lower on Barber. I have Barber at 29.
I mean, he looked fine last week, but he's Peyton Barber. That's who he is. He's fine. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Bruce Arians just kills us and it's, you know, a big split again, or Ronald Jones just surprisingly takes over. I have no idea what to expect, so I don't want to play Peyton Barber.
I don't blame you for not wanting to, but I mean, Tampa Bay is at home in that game. They're playing against a rookie quarterback making his first NFL start. I would imagine they're not going to want to – they don't need to take a whole lot of chances in this game, but they should score points in the Giants. I mean, the Giants through 2 weeks have allowed 35 points to the Cowboys, 28 points to the Bills. So, Barber, I have an RB29. There's definitely risk involved with him.
Yeah, like, I agree. The average scenario for him probably is a top 30 running back, but – it could just kill you.
Yeah,
that's what Bobby said on that is perfectly in tune with what my thinking is. Like, we talk about floor and ceiling all the time. Well, Barber's week 2 is the ceiling, and it's still not very attractive. And the lower range of outcomes is that, you know, goes back to being a Ronald Jones thing where he's getting more work, like we saw in week 1, and all of a sudden Barber is, you know, getting a reduced snap count. And if Barber's getting, you know, less than a dozen touches, he's going to have a pretty lousy week in your starting lineup. So, yeah, I mean, if he gets those double-digit touches as he did in week 2, you know, he'll give you a passable performance where you're satisfied with what you get as a point total, assuming other guys in your lineup are doing most of the heavy lifting. But, you know, it's just when you're just kind of looking to get by in that running back spot with Peyton Barber, I think there are a lot of potential guys who could do better for you.
You know whose run defense has been really bad this year is the Chargers. And we've seen this before. I would start Carlos Hyde over all these guys. I've got Tariq Cohen number 2. I mean, I've got Carlos Hyde in my top. He's number 26 right now. I've got Tariq Cohen in my top 30. He's always in my top 30. The Bears didn't use him a ton last week, so we'll see what happens. But until I see it for a few weeks in a row, I'm going to keep ranking Tariq Cohen like he was a top 12 PPR running back last year, because he was. Now, let's get to another group of 3 guys. This is a difficult one, okay? Let's not even talk about the Kansas City Chiefs ones, because it's going to depend on injury status with Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy, obviously. But Miles Sanders faced Detroit, a really difficult matchup, and it's Doug Peterson. But it's Miles Sanders. He's really talented. Then we got Philip Lindsay going up against Green Bay's surprisingly good run defense. And James White, who hasn't been used a ton, going up against the Jets. What do you think about these 3, Pat?
I have James White, 26, and I'm always guilty of ranking James White higher than everyone else because maybe it's the Wisconsin bias, but based on early usage, that is probably admittedly higher than it should be. Lindsay, 27, and Miles Sanders, 29. So I've got those 3 grouped within like 4 spots of each other.
I have them in the same order. James White, highest. What about you, Tex?
I have James White at 26, Miles Sanders 28, and Lindsay at 30. By the way, Pat, did you do the same thing I did? We talked about the Houston, like, being a coward and just putting them next to each other. I'm doing the same thing with Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman.
Yes, me too, Tags. Lindsay 27, Freeman 28. Cowardice at its finest.
That's an actually, like, legitimate, like, absolute 50-50 share. Like, it's, like, there's nothing, there's no, like, 51-49. It's a 50-50 share between those two right now.
You know, the thing is, I would rather have Philip Lindsay because where's he going to make his money? Running outside. The Broncos are going to have much better success running outside than going straight towards Kenny Clark, who is just a machine. That guy is so good.
Yeah, and good point on that, Bobby. And I think over the past couple of years, I know this is you know, as far as the personnel goes, a slightly different Green Bay defense this year with Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, some new blood, Adrian Amos. But the Packers have had more trouble in recent years with the smaller, quicker backs, I think, than with the, you know, bigger, more physical backs. So Lindsey is the kind of guy who is more apt to hurt that defense, I think, than Freeman.
Hey, guys, is there anybody in that top 24 ECR that you were just a little bit nervous about this week? I mean, obviously, you can start them in certain situations, but for me, Josh Jacobs makes me nervous. This defense in Minnesota, very good against the run, excellent against the pass, and it's at Minnesota, negative game script. They've been using Jalen Richard primarily on third downs. I wouldn't love to play Josh Jacobs. I might rather play Frank Gore than him. I can't make up my mind.
I'm with you on that, Bobby. I've got him 22 and Gore at 25. So,
okay.
Yeah, pretty close. A little nervous about him. A little nervous about Mark Ingram, too. I just feel like that could set up as sort of not the best game script for him. I mean, maybe, yes, the Ravens want to play keep away from the Kansas City offense, but Ingram is a little banged up. It seems like they're starting to maybe get Justice Hill a little more involved. And yeah, I'm just a little bit nervous about Ingram. I think you probably start him if you've got him on the roster, but for some reason, I just don't feel like this is going to be a terrific game for him.
So Tags, Mark Ingram was a pass catcher in New Orleans, right? He had, what, 60 receptions in 1 year? But it's New Orleans. Like, if you put Derrick Henry in New Orleans, he's catching passes. Mark Ingram has 2 targets so far. Can we expect him to be used against Kansas City? And what do you think about Josh Jacobs?
He's still run the most pass routes of that backfield. He's run 23 routes, whereas Justice Hill has run 20. Now, granted, the game script hasn't been, you know, necessary for either of them to run a whole lot. So I don't want to take too much away from just the 2 targets. But the receivers there are doing work. Lamar Jackson just doesn't target running backs a whole lot. Ingram does get the goal line work, though. So, I mean, I think that there's going to be points scored against Kansas City. That's one I think it might have the highest total of the week between those two teams. So, yeah, I think Ingram's fine. You mentioned Josh Jacobs. Definitely worried about him. Not only is that a brutal matchup in Minnesota, but he's dealing with an injury, which they could decide to take it a little bit easier on him. And another player I'm worried about is James Conner. He's coming. He had an MRI. He's expecting to play in week 3. That's what he said. But at the same time, the 49ers were a middling run defense last year. They've improved their front 7. And then last week, we watched Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard total just 23 yards on 17 carries. And let's not pretend that Connor was even great with, you know, Ben Roethlisberger under center. You know, he finished as the RB29, I think it was, and the RB18 over the first 2 weeks. So I don't think he's a locked in, like, must start every single week. They're on the road in San Francisco. They're 6.5-point underdogs. I'm actually going to take Pittsburgh getting 6.5 or 7 points, depending on what spread you look at. That game's going to be probably closer than people think, but James Conner is someone I'm definitely worried about going forward. And if you could find someone that would be willing to give you anywhere close to RB1 value, I'd trade him away in a heartbeat.
Like I mentioned, I like Mason Rudolph a lot, but for me, this is just about the knee. It makes me really nervous. If he is out for one game and Jalen Samuels performs really well, James Conner has no chance at being a workhorse, because why would they make him one? He wore down towards the end of the season because he couldn't handle a workhorse role. And they've got Jalen Samuels there. If he plays well, it's going to be a split backfield, I would imagine. What do you think, Pat?
I'm with you guys. I've got Conner at RB14 this week.
That's a lot higher than consensus. He's at 18 right now.
Yeah, I have him at 18.
Is he at 18?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think the Jalen Samuels genie is out of the bottle, and I've kind of thought that all off season and just did not see Conner as anything more than maybe an early second round pick. And there was this wave I noticed, like, in the last couple of weeks of the draft season, where Conner was going as like a mid first round pick. Like, people decided that he was going to have the Le'Veon Bell workload, and
he was really good in the first 10 weeks last year. Like, I guess I could understand it, but without Antonio Brown there, this offense changes a ton.
Exactly. I just don't think he has anywhere near that sort of talent, and I did not think that he was going to have that same sort of usage. So I was out on him at the inflated mid first round price. And yeah, no, I'm starting to worry a little bit. I'm interesting that I'm higher on consensus with RB14. You know, I still like him a little more than, and maybe this is a mistake, Marlon Mack and Derrick Henry, and a little more than Joe Mixon. But
I think it just has to do with the injury stuff. If it weren't for the injuries, I think you'd be low on him.
Yeah, like, I don't think that offense is going to totally shut down with Mason Rudolph there. Like, I think he's, as far as backup quarterbacks go, I think he's one of the probably better options in the league, just because of the, you know, pretty impressive college pedigree. I thought he was drafted maybe a little lower than he should have been. And I was kind of surprised he went to Pittsburgh where there wasn't going to be an immediate opening. But yeah, so I'm not saying that Connor should be benched, of course, but I'm not wildly optimistic about his outlook going forward.
Tags, any other running backs you want to talk about before we go wide receiver?
No, I just want to remind people to start Frank Gore. Through 2 weeks, the Bengals have allowed 4 running backs to finish his top 16 running backs.
Oh, man. What? That is so ridiculous. Holy cow.
Maybe TJ Yeldon is like a sleeper play this week.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
Frank Gore as an RB2, it feels like we're in 2009 again, guys.
We might be.
Or you mean any other year? I mean, I think in 2017, he finished in the top 20, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. 2016, he was like top 15. I wonder at what point, like, is it going to be a sad day when Frank Gore retires?
Yes.
It will be. It's been such an amazing run. Like, I don't want to see, it would be great if he went out while he was still, like, useful and getting work. And, like, I don't want to see him kind of just marginalized at the very end. It would be really great if he went out on a high note. So, you know, maybe it's after this year since he's still a very vital part of that offense.
All right, guys. 2017, Frank Gore, RB18 ahead of Marshawn Lynch, Latavius Murray. Both those guys were starters. DeMarco Murray. That is ridiculous.
Wow.
All right, guys. Moving on over to wide receivers here in just a second. But first, the Rake Free Revolution is here, and it's available only at Fantasy Draft. Rake, commission, management fee, call whatever you want, but the days of paying 10, 12, or even 15% of your entry fees to the house are over. Now you can play rake-free only on Fantasy Draft, where 100% of entry fees are paid to contest winners. That's right, every single dollar in entry fees are paid to contest winners on Fantasy Draft. To access Fantasy Draft's exclusive rake-free contests, all you need to do is become a member. Fantasy Draft offers membership plans suitable to all levels of play, including the free player's first plan, that allows for $100 in rake-free entries per month. And for a limited time, Fantasy Draft is offering a free 7-day trial on your first $1,000 in rake-free entries with their starter plan. As other sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed more and more, making it harder for players like you to win. Those days are over. No more do you have to lose up to 30% of your bankroll to rake. That money goes straight to the prize pools on Fantasy Draft. It's time to start playing your favorite contest rake-free on Fantasy Draft. Your bankroll is gonna love it. Register at fantasydraft.com today with promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a free 7-day trial on your first $1,000 in entry fees. That's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS to claim your free 7-day trial, void or prohibited, must be 18 years or older. All right, guys, wide receiver, and Tags and I both really like Randall Cobb this week. Macon Fitzpatrick was obviously traded. Amari Cooper is going to be shadowed by Xavien Howard. Miami has nobody else. Michael Gallup is out. I'm looking at Randall Cobb right now, Tags, wide receiver 53. I've got him in my top 35. Pat, what do you think?
I've got him 52, so I'm kind of in line with consensus. Not a bad option.
I can't take credit. It was all Tags. Tags, you talked me into this one, man.
I hope I'm right then.
Yeah, the Dallas offense is just operating at such a high level. I mean, Dak is, what, completing over 80% of his throws and better than 10 yards per attempt. I mean, the way he has looked and the way this offense has looked has just been so impressive. And Dallas is looking like a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You know, and maybe now with Gallup out of the picture, that does elevate some of the secondary receivers. Devin Smith.
Yep. Sleeper this week right there.
Yeah. And, you know, this is half-point PPR rankings. Maybe if it's full PPR, I move Cobb up another 5 or 6 spots into the top 50, but definitely an option this week in deeper leagues.
How high do you have Cobb, Tags?
I have him at wide receiver 44. So I struggle putting him over some of the receivers that are like clear cut, like full time role players, like a Terry McLaurin. I'm struggling putting him over him. DJ Chark has looked.
Terry McLaurin against Chicago?
I know it's not a great matchup, but the Bears, like, McLaurin is going to match up with Prince Amukamara, and he can get it done there if he's getting the target share he's been getting. Randall Cobb is still just he's the third wide receiver. Devin Smith's going to play in, I think, 2 wide receiver sets.
You think Smith is the number 2?
In 2 wide receiver sets, they're going to run a lot of 3 wides, so you're going to see Cobb on the field more often than not. And I think Devin Smith is like a sleeper this week, too, is someone that like that he's available in 99% of leagues. I added him in a lot of my dynasty leagues this week just because it's clear that he's the next man up. He was a former high round pick, like just injuries kind of aided him. So Devin Smith is a sleeper for sure. Like, if you're desperate and you're like, my team is terrible, guys, I have injuries, I have people that have bad matchups, I think I'm actually starting Devin Smith over Corey Davis in one league. I am not kidding.
Corey Davis right now, wide receiver 52, going up against Jalen Ramsey if he's not traded by then. If they haven't traded him yet, I mean, they're asking 2 first-round picks. They're not trading him. Tags, you said this, like, if they need to choose between Doug Marrone, who's clearly getting fired at the end of the year, and Jalen Ramsey, why not just say, okay, dude, just chill out for 1 year. We'll get Mike Leach in here. This is wishful thinking on my end since I'm a Jags fan. But, I mean, it's perfect fit. Gardner Minshew played for Mike Leach. Let's bring him in, guys.
Yeah, why? I don't understand, like, why they're going to trade away a player that doesn't get along with the coach when the coach isn't going to be there, like, very shortly.
A franchise player.
If they want 2 first-round picks, Jalen Ramsey's worth it. Like, obviously, he's a big mouth, and he, you know, you have to deal with his antics. But he, in my opinion, he's the best cornerback in the NFL. And if you want to argue with me on that, he's top three. That's worth 2 first-round picks. Like, you're not guaranteed to hit on 2 first-round picks.
That's fair.
Plus, it's going to be a contending team like the Chiefs that's going to trade for Ramsey. So that's going to be a pick. One of those picks is going to be at the end of the first round. You know, and Ramsey is certainly like an early first round. It would be one thing if you knew you were getting a top 5 draft pick for him. But, you know, with a back end first round pick, completely understandable they're asking for that sort of price.
Yeah, knowing what we know about Ramsey's skill set, if he were to go back into the draft in 2020, he'd still be a top 5 pick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And think about it this way. If you trade the number 30 pick and the number 29 pick, what would you be expected to get? Like, pick number 12 in the first round, you could move up maybe that high. They're basically asking for the 12th overall pick for Jalen Ramsey, and I think that's entirely fair. I don't think anyone bites, though. Any other wide receivers that if you're desperate, you can start? Like Geronimo Allison against Denver this week. He was great last week. Can we play him this week? Is there somebody else you see, Pat?
Can I take issue with the idea that he was great? I mean, he had a really low average depth of target. They were just throwing him little short stuff. He had a nice touchdown catch. He lost a really soft fumble.
It was against Minnesota, though. Like, I'll take, you know, what was it, 13 points against Minnesota?
Yeah. I mean, he also had another really poor play where they threw him a little swing pass on 3rd and 2, and all he has to do is catch the ball and, like, make an aggressive turn upfield and get the first down. And instead, he caught it, turned around, and just kind of hesitated for a second and let the tacklers get to him, stopped him short of the sticks, and then they went for it on 4th down, tried to do, a real quick little play. It didn't work. That was kind of a turning point in that game. The Packers had all the momentum to that point. And
are you a Packers fan?
I am, as a matter of fact.
That's what I thought, because you live in Chicago. How does that feel?
Yeah, behind enemy lines here, Bobby. it's not that crazy. One of my best friends was when I met him, we were both living in Milwaukee, and he was the Milwaukee chapter president of the Chicago Bears fan club. So I'm like, now I am in his shoes. We're both down here, and I know what it was like for him back then.
You know, in St. Louis, a lot of people here root for the Packers because we just all hate Chicago so much. Because, you know, the Chicago Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals were baseball city. We just hate Chicago that much because of the Cubs that we root for the Green Bay Packers since the Rams left.
It's funny, though. You do see a lot of intermingling around here. You see Packer gear out in, you know, the northern suburbs of Chicago all the time. You see Bears gear in southeastern Wisconsin. It's very...
It's not like Philadelphia where you'll die if you do that.
Exactly. It's a civil war, but it's a civil war.
Right, yeah.
So Marquez Valdez-Scantling is an absolute must-play this week for me. He's someone that, you know, you just talked about Allison. It made me think about Packers wide receivers. And Chris Harris Jr. was in shadow mode last week, which means that he's going to be with Davante Adams this week. So in that's going to leave Isaac Yiadom, a last year's draft pick, in coverage on Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Through 2 weeks as the starter in this offense, he's allowed 12 of 13 passing in his coverage for 148 yards. It's not the scheme either, because last year he allowed a 105 quarterback rating in his coverage as well. So Valdez-Scantling is one of my favorite tournament plays in DFS. People are going to be off of him because he hasn't really had a big week. My only concern here is Aaron Rodgers. If Rodgers is actually hurt, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it, but like I said, he just looked like he was hurt around the midpoint of that game, and it just things went downhill for that Packers offense afterwards. But if he's healthy, I think MVS is a wide receiver 3 at worst.
Where do you have him this week, Tags?
I have him at wide receiver 32 right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I buy that. It is interesting that Chris Harris is now, you know, he was always the slot guy before. But yeah, you're right. Now he is they are traveling with him and putting him on the opponent's best receiver. And if that happens with Devontae, you're right. That probably is going to lead to some extra targets for MVS and maybe Allison too. You know, I've got MVS at 47 right now, and maybe that's a little bit too low. And really, he was one. There was one play where he almost made like a 40-yard catch last week and had the ball knocked away at the very last minute. Really good play by the Viking defensive back. Can't remember which one, but you know, that would have maybe generated a little more interest in him, but that's a pretty good call. And I kind of like, as a possible play, Aguilar this week. With
I was going to mention him. Great call.
DeSean Jackson definitely out, and Alshon Jeffrey probably out. You know, obviously Ertz is going to get a lot of balls, and maybe we see Arthego Whiteside get more involved. But, you know, Aguilar was the preferred target last week and really should have had that walk-in touchdown on the one ball he dropped at the end. Still, though, I think there's maybe a confidence level that we wouldn't see with Wentz and Arthego Whiteside. So Aguilar for me is just like a low-end wide receiver three, high-end wide receiver four this week, and a guy I wouldn't feel bad about in leagues where you have to start three wideouts, going with him as a third wideout or a flex.
Hey, Pat, I've got a trivia question for you, okay? Tags, you already know the answer to this. Of wide receivers last year, which of these did not finish in the top 35 at the position? Adam Humphreys, Robbie Anderson, Zay Jones, Nelson Aguilar.
Was it Zay?
He finished in the top 35. It was Robbie Anderson. Can you believe that? Zay Jones, Nelson Aguilar, and Adam Humphreys all in the top 35. Nelson Aguilar wasn't even the starter for half the season. He's a quality wide receiver. They're gonna Carson Wentz passes him the ball.
He really is. I mean, after his tough first couple of years, I think people have this stigma with him. But hey, man, Devontae Adams had a rough couple of years too, and turned into a pretty good player. So yeah, I have no issue with Aguilar, and if he gets this enhanced usage this week, like he could definitely do some damage.
So I've got four wide receiver fours here. You guys tell me which one you would start if you were desperate. I was going to mention Corey Davis, but Tags, you already mentioned him. He's at Jacksonville. He's ECR 52. He's a sit this week. What about Robbie Anderson against New England? We'll go with DJ Chark. You can use DJ Chark or DD Westbrook if you want, if you prefer one or the other. So Robbie Anderson, one of the Jacksonville wide receivers against Tennessee. DeMarcus Robinson face Baltimore. And then we'll go with John Ross at Buffalo.
I'll take Chark.
You're taking Chark, okay.
I will.
He's the last one in ECR right now, wide receiver 49.
Really?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that too.
Hmm. All right, so I don't want to besmirch Bobby's boy, Gardner Minshew, but I'm still a little nervous about rolling out any of the Jacksonville wide receivers. So those guys are like kind of low-end wide receiver four.
I agree. I don't think he's a great player. He's just fun. I would agree with that.
And I like Didi. I don't think all hope is lost for him. I think we were really fooled by that game in the preseason. I want to say it was preseason week three where Didi had like six catches and none of the other Jaguars receivers had one. And then all of a sudden we get into the regular season and it's this three-way split between Chark and Conley and Westbrook. And really Westbrook has kind of been the third man of those guys. So I don't know. Right now I'm just not comfortable with the target distribution there. And, you know, Ross, after just thinking he was this train wreck, again, to mention the slow start to Devontae Adams' career, I am now back to seeing John Ross as the guy he was in his last year at the University of Washington when he was just a monster. And, you know, I'm confident in him again. I think I've got him at wide receiver 34. I do. And just ahead of Robinson, Tags in this one, I did not take the coward's way out and put DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman adjacent to each other.
I did on this one. That's funny.
But I've got Robinson 36 and Hardman 38. So it's pretty close.
You guys suck.
Why did you guys draft Robbie Anderson, Tre'Davious White in week one, Denzel Ward in week two, Stephon Gilmore in week three, and then he's got Jalen Ramsey in week eight, Stephon Gilmore in week seven, Xavien Howard in week nine, Janoris Jenkins in week 10. It just goes on and on. This is his whole season. Why did we draft him?
I didn't draft him.
I didn't draft him either. Yeah, props to Mike Clay for tweeting that out. It was well in advance of the heart of draft season. I think it was probably early August or late July when Mike tweeted that. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, ooh, okay.
I didn't even know where I got that information, but I'm glad you brought it up. I just want to mention John Ross is wide receiver 39. He's the highest of this bunch, but he's going up against Buffalo. Tags, is he going to get Tre'Davious White? Because Tyler Boyd primarily plays in the slot, right?
I don't know if they're going to do it. Yeah, he primarily does. It's like, I think 57% of the time or something like that. But this is not a good matchup for any of them. Like, it's, I mean, Tyler Boyd's the one that I would prefer to play because he does play mostly the slot. But Tre'Davious White is not like, he's not like the fastest corner. That's the part where it's like John Ross can get behind any defense. Like, and I want to say that none of the Bills cornerbacks run a sub 4.5 40, and that includes Tre'Davious White. It might be like a 4.45 or something, but he has the speed to get behind the defense. But the safety play has been really good in Buffalo too. The question is, you know, can Andy Dalton stay in there against that pass rush? Will it be a blowout? Because John Ross did catch a garbage time touchdown last week. That stuff can happen for sure. But I'm not big on Ross this week. It's just, you don't play wide receivers against Buffalo if you don't have to. And I don't think Ross is like a must play at this point just yet.
All right, guys. So here's what we're going to do next. I want you guys to come up with a wide receiver you want to always start. So you can think about that while I'm telling the listeners about our great new sponsor, Keeps. If you're experiencing some form of male pattern baldness, you are definitely not alone. In fact, 2 out of 3 guys are going to experience it by the time they're 35 years old. The good news is that with today's advancements in science, Keeps is able to offer proven treatments that can combat those symptoms of hair loss. I'm very fortunate to not be one of those 2 in 3. Now, of course, I'm a little bit younger too. By the way, I went and read all the reviews, and like every single one of them is 5-star. In fact, Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. And I read those reviews, and it's just absolutely glowing. Like, this stuff works. All these guys love it. And maybe the best part is, it starts at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. I'm one of these people that hates wasting time. Like, I'd rather be working or spending time with family. And Keeps has revolutionized the way that people are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. It's a little bit embarrassing to do stuff like that. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms and no more pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/fantasypros to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's Keeps, KEEPS.com/fantasypros to get your first month of treatment for free. I'll tell you what, guys, if your experience is anything like all these reviews, you are going to absolutely love Keeps, and that's a great value too, so you might as well try it out. All right, guys, next we're going to do one wide receiver that you wouldn't always start, but you're definitely starting this week. I'm going to start us off here just so you guys have some time to think about it. I'm going with John Brown. Right now, his ECR is wide receiver 27 going up against Cincinnati. And I get it, not drafting John Brown until round 11 or 12 because he's been so injury prone. But while he's on the field, he's always been a wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3. I don't know why that changes with Josh Allen improving so much going up against Cincinnati this week. I've got him in my top 24 wide receivers this week. Are you guys starting him as well?
I am, as a matter of fact. I'm starting him in my most important home league. He's been my flex guy since week one, actually. And he's, been fantastic. Like, really the only pass catcher you can own for Buffalo. And it's not that the Buffalo passing offense has been disappointing. I mean, I think Allen is overachieving right now, or certainly surpassing expectations. But John Brown is his guy. You know, they don't have a reliable tight end. They rotate there. There's nothing comfortable with Zay Jones or any of the other wide receivers. And really, you know, Brown is the guy, and his numbers last week could have been even better if Allen hadn't overshot him on a deep ball where he was pretty much wide open. So, yeah, I feel really good about starting him.
Tags, you starting John Brown, and who's your guy that you would definitely start this week that you want to always start?
Yeah, John Brown is my wide receiver 26, so he's in my lineup. And Marquise Brown is somebody that I'm more than confident playing. I have him as the wide receiver 25 this week, and I could actually make the case that he should be higher than that. He jumped up in snaps. He played 50 snaps last week, which is massive in a game with a over under of 55 points. KC doesn't have very much talent at the cornerback position. Marquise Brown, must play.
I got to take a big L on Marquise Brown because I was worried that he might be like the second coming of Tavon Austin. And he is a baller, man. He could play. So total mea culpa on that one. I was wrong about Marquise Brown and not being high on him coming into the season.
Pat, that's pretty awesome of you to do, man. We all had some misses for sure. Our Tags and I talked about TJ Hawkinson. That was a big miss for both of us. Now, he didn't look great in week 2, but he's a good football player. I've got 3 wide receiver 3s. You guys tell me who your favorite is of this bunch. And Tags, you just stole one. I was going to use Marquise Brown, so let me, you know, wrangle another one. Tyrell Williams going at Minnesota.
Ugh.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He was actually one I was going to ask you guys about because, like, I have him at wide receiver 39. And I feel like it's not low enough.
Yeah, I don't have him in my top 40. Yeah, I'm with you.
42 for me.
Awesome. That makes me feel really validated, guys. Thank you. All right, so Tyrell Williams at Minnesota obviously is not the choice. DK Metcalf faced the Saints. And then let's go with Marvin Jones at Philadelphia.
Marvin. Starvin Marvin. That's where I'm going.
Oh, for me, it's definitely Metcalf.
Me too.
I've got him 33. I mean, this guy is so impressive. Another guy I was totally wrong about. I was like worried about, and you know, he's only made it through 2 weeks. I was a little worried about the physical build and that, you know, whether he was maybe just a little too chiseled, not quite.
David Boston?
Yes, thank you, Tags. Exactly who I was thinking of and how that body type did not exactly hold up well. But you see this guy now. He is just a physical mismatch for any quarterback he comes up against. And really interesting to see how he and Lockett were used last week, with Lockett almost playing this possession role where he gets the lower average depth of target throws, and Wilson is kind of, you know, just getting him those chain moving throws, and Metcalf is the guy he's looking for downfield. And why not, when you can throw to a receiver who runs like Metcalf and has the body type where he is just, you know, can high point a ball pretty much over any defender he's going to be up against. And I'm just so impressed with Metcalf so far, and I'm looking for reasons to get that guy into my lineup.
I think he's a buy low. You're not even necessarily buying low because he's actually done pretty well through the first 2 weeks, but I think you're buying lower than what his ceiling is. Pat, I don't know if you know, he has seen like 53% of the Seahawks' air yards in that offense.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Like, he had, what, 7 targets, 2 Lockett's, 12 or 13 last week, and he still had more air yards?
Yeah, like, he's being targeted down the field, and like as you've mentioned, he could win in those one-on-one. The reason I don't like him this week necessarily, you might be able to buy lower after this week, is because they are going to be at home in a winnable game against the Saints. They are, again, it's at home. He's going to match up with Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore is always tight in coverage. Like, the dude, he may have allowed a 2-touchdown game to DeAndre Hopkins, but that's because Hopkins is a freak of nature. And like, if you watch that game, you could see that he was tight in coverage throughout the entire game, and he's one of the better cornerbacks in the league. So this is a Tyler Lockett game where they can abuse the slot against the Saints. They've been abused deep down the field too. So I think it's a Tyler Lockett game, but DK Metcalf is definitely someone that I think you should be happy to have on your roster.
It was so obviously a Tyler Lockett game last week as well. And, you know, it absolutely paid off. He had, what, 12 targets?
Yeah, he went off. That one was rather predictable, yeah, for sure.
All right, tight end. This is always really easy. We got Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, Ingram. You got to start them. Mark Andrews against Kansas City. If you don't start him, you have lost your mind. But then we get to the 6 through 14 range, and I think there's a very big cutoff after 14. So I'm just going to list all these players. You tell me if there's any you disagree with, and then any that I missed out on, okay? Darren Waller at Minnesota. OJ Howard faced the Giants. I'm just reading ECR right now. Greg Olson at Arizona. Austin Hooper at Indianapolis. Vance McDonald at San Francisco. All these guys are start-worthy, according to the analyst consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Delanie Walker at Jacksonville. TJ Hawkinson at Philadelphia. David Njoku at the Rams. And then Jared Cook at Seattle. I moved him into the bunch. Right now, he's 16, but I've got him as my 13. What do you guys think?
I have Jared Cook at 18.
I have him at 17.
Really? Okay. Seattle's not very good against tight ends. They haven't been for 4 years running, including this year.
I disagree. Yeah, last year they were actually pretty good. Like, when Bradley McDougal was healthy, like, he's actually really good cover safety, but Tedrick Thompson was out last week, and it forced them to move McDougal into his spot, and then Delano Hill, and it's basically, there's a lot of moving parts there, and the reason why they didn't play necessarily well last week. I don't think that they're a team to attack with tight ends, and Jared Cook just isn't very good at football, and we're seeing it, and if he's not getting a lot of targets, he's not going to produce, kind of like he has not throughout his entire career. Jared Cook is who he is. There's a reason I wasn't drafting him. Like, I didn't have him on any of my teams. And this matchup, I don't think it's a great one going into Seattle. I would rather play someone like Kyle Rudolph versus Oakland.
Dang. Okay. So what about the other names? Any of those other names you don't want to start?
Hawkinson, I don't want to play.
Even as a big Hawkinson supporter, I've got him down. Well, I do have him ahead of Delanie Walker. Maybe that's a mistake. But I've got Hawkinson at tight end 11. So if you have to, you have to.
Like, would you rather play David Njoku than Hockenson?
Well, we got to see about him, right? With the concussion after that nasty fall he took. And God, thank goodness he didn't break his neck on that play. I mean, that was just a crazy collision. No, I think most of those guys, there's really no one from the lower rungs that I'm, other than Cook. Cook is kind of the one I wouldn't play. I'd start either the Colts guys or Jimmy Graham ahead of him, I think. But like no one in that group I'm going out of my way to avoid. You know, Olsen is not my favorite play. Like, even coming off the big game last week, I mean, he's just not moving like he used to. I mean, people are going to see the numbers and think that he's like this target, but I don't know. To me, he looks kind of slower. The Cardinals haven't been giving up a lot of points to tight ends. And just, you know, obviously with the status of Cam Newton, and if it's Kyle Allen, I'll be moving Olsen down even further than tight end 10, which is where I have him now.
What if you're desperate? Who do you pick up? Is it someone like even Jason Witten against Miami?
Could do that.
Would you go Will Disley against New Orleans? No. I mean, I like Will Disley, but not against New Orleans.
Jason Witten or Virgil Green would be the two that I would say like are Hail Marys.
I agree with Witten. I think he's the only guy of that group I've got in my top 20. What about Gerald Everett as a possible guy with Higbee out for a while? You know, I know at Cleveland it's maybe not the best matchup, but maybe Everett does get slightly enhanced usage. He'd be a Hail Mary at the position, I guess.
That's actually not a bad one. I could see that one happening.
I think that's a really good call, Pat.
You guys, can we talk about O.J. Howard for a second?
We have to.
have you guys been getting like a zillion tweets from followers asking like if they should dump O.J. Howard? I mean, I got one for a guy who was basically angry at me when he was asking who he should pick up when he drops Howard, Jason Witten, Tyler Eifert, or Will Disley.
O.J. Howard's ranked like 15 spots higher than all of them.
Yeah, he was just mortified when I told him that Howard was much better than those guys. Jameis missed Howard on a pass. Like, it would have been such an easy walk-in touchdown, like a 20-yarder last week.
And we wouldn't be talking about this at all.
Right, right, exactly. You'd be a little dismayed that he only had the one catch, but, you know, if it's a 20-yard touchdown, you're fine with it. And people are panic selling O.J. Howard like crazy, and I...
Bye, bye, bye.
Yes, yes. All right, thanks. I'm glad we're of like mind on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, quarterback position. Mahomes is an obvious start. Prescott against Miami. Lamar Jackson against Kansas City. Tom Brady against the Jets. Watson against the Chargers. Matt Ryan against the Colts. After that, I guess you could say Russell Wilson belongs in that must start. So we've got seven of them. But after that, who do you feel confident starting, Tags?
Did you say Josh Allen in that group?
I did not, but I would put him in the group. I just don't think most other people would.
Right now, I have him as a QB6. I'm still messing with stuff and going through some games, but I have him as a QB6 right now. I don't know why you wouldn't start Josh Allen against Cincinnati.
Right. I was just saying, guys, I'm not getting any questions. No one's going to ask, should I start Tom Brady against the Jets? Yes, of course you do.
I would start Josh Allen over Matt Ryan.
I would, too. I would as well. Pat, how high do you have Josh Allen?
So I've got him quarterback 10, and I know that's too low, and I wanted to put him at quarterback 9, but my body would just not physically let me move him ahead of Aaron Rodgers as a Packer fan. Like, I just, my body shut down, even though my brain is screaming at me to put Josh Allen ahead of Aaron Rodgers. So QB 10 is as far as I could go, but I am starting him in a league where I, you know, waited on quarterbacks, one of my home leagues, and guys were making fun of me at the draft for coming out of it with Josh Allen as my starter. And
that's funny.
I'm feeling great about it now. I mean, yet another guy I totally undersold his rookie year, thinking he was going to be terrible and, you know, with his accuracy issues, that it would just not lead to a fruitful NFL career. But this guy is just a playmaker, man, and he's never going to have pinpoint accuracy. But what he can do to buy time with his legs and some of the throws he can make, that sideline throw he made last week against the Giants, scrambling, like breaking a pass rusher's ankles, and then on a dead run, just a rocket shot to, I think it was Dawson Knox, maybe. And it was only like a 10-yard gain, but man, one of the most impressive throws I've seen through 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was a popular thing to make fun of the Bills drafting Josh Allen, where they did just like Daniel Jones, and it looks like everyone in the industry was wrong about both those guys. Josh Allen is such a good kid, too.
Not everybody. I didn't hate Daniel Jones. I did not like Josh Allen. I will admit that. And by the way, I do want to take a second to say I'm sorry to Bills fans. So basically, there are times where we're wrong, and that's going to happen. And I'm not willing to say that Josh Allen is going to be a franchise quarterback that's going to be in the league for 15 years. I'm not saying that because I still don't think that. But I will say one thing is I always ask for from quarterbacks. I just want to see improvement in their career. I just want to see them progress. We haven't seen it with Trubisky this year, and that's a problem for me. Okay, Josh Allen has progressed from his rookie year. So he has looked better. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's a world beater and that he played the best defenses. He didn't, but he has looked better. So I'm saying sorry for continually bashing Josh Allen, guys, because he has looked a lot better.
Our go-to, too, when we were making fun of a team was the Bills. It's got to be the Dolphins now. We got to move off the Bills. In fact, I think the Bills are probably going to make the playoffs.
Well, they are the kings of New York. I mean, they have swept New York. They are the kings of New York.
Right.
Things are pointing up for them. Their defense is terrific. And, you know, Josh Allen looks like a true, you know, legitimate starting playoff caliber quarterback. So, you know, Bills fans, downtrodden for so long, your time is now, guys. So light those tables on fire at those tailgate parties. And
oh my God. Yeah, their tailgate parties are out of control.
Josh Allen's such a great kid, too. He's really easy to root for. Now, Pat, you said you've got Allen at 10. I'm assuming Rodgers at 9. Who do you have at 8 ahead of them?
Kyler Murray.
Great. Yep, I got Kyler Murray locked into my top 10 as well. Murray through 2 weeks, 23 points against Detroit, who's great against rushing quarterbacks. 16 against Baltimore. That's better than we expected. He's thrown 94 pass attempts. That's 40 more than Deshaun Watson, 50 more than Russell Wilson. If they're going to use him this much and he's going to start running the ball, which he's going to now that he's not, you know, facing the two most difficult defenses in the NFL for a running quarterback, he's got to be fine. I think he's to start every week from here on out. Tags, give me one other guy you've got as a start, and then we'll go with one guy we're sitting, and then DST.
I thought he should have been able to run against Baltimore, but Murray I have at 13. Somebody that I might start over him is Matthew Stafford. Stafford against Philly. You're not going to run the ball in Philly. That's just the way it is. And when you look at the cornerback situation there, it's pretty brutal. I mean, we saw Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley just kind of going off against them last week. And then if we go back to week one, they had issues with Terry McLaurin. You know what I mean? Trey Quinn caught a touchdown. They couldn't tackle Vernon Davis. That secondary is the problem in Philadelphia. And if they can't move the ball on the ground, I think Matthew Stafford could have a bigger week here.
Jameis Winston.
Oh, yes.
I mean, obviously, getting a lot of shade.
I've got him top 12, too. I'm with you. I'm ready for all the hate tweets if he plays bad again.
Right. But he can do work against this Giants secondary. And a home game, you know, I know it's ugly. He'll probably still throw a bad interception or two in this game. But
extra rest, too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. 10 days to prep for this one. And like, I think it's wheels up this week.
Yep.
I am all in. I will have far too much DFS exposure to him this week in tournaments, like 100%.
Don't do it in cash games, Tags. Don't do it.
No, there's too many good options like to play him there, but I am all in. If you're sitting there choosing between him and Kyler Murray, I'm playing Jameis Winston this week.
We're sitting Cam Newton, right? I've got him QB 20 this week.
Even if he plays, I have him at QB 18.
Same.
I want to mention for a two quarterback special before we go DST, Mason Rudolph is someone you can rely on right from the get-go. He's got good weapons. He's got a great offensive line. He looked really good last week. You can look at it and see he had the one interception. It was a perfectly thrown ball to Dante Moncrief that he dropped, and it went to the guy behind him. Besides that, Mason Rudolph played very good. I like Mason Rudolph. I've got him in my top 20 this week against San Francisco.
I don't know if I'd go. I wouldn't say top 20 for him, but
you want to make another bet? Mason Rudolph is Mitch Trubisky this week.
I'm not betting anything on Trubisky, dude. Seriously, like, you are not getting that out of me. Like, he has looked like, no, I'm not kidding, he's looked like the worst quarterback in football, and now all those people that said he looked like Bortles, like, have ground to stand on. He's looked terrible. There's nothing good I could say about him right now.
All right, DST, I just want one streamer from everybody. I've got the Green Bay Packers for the third straight week going up against Denver. They're ECR number 6. I'm surprised by that. I've actually got them number 7. First time I've been lower than ECR. I've had him 10 spots higher both weeks. But yeah, this week you can play Green Bay. Who else can you play, Pat?
How about we mention the Buffalo Bills again? Are they considered too good to be a streaming option?
Nah, I mean, I think they're available in quite a few leagues. Probably not more than 50%, but they're not an obvious start for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to be against the teams that are, you know, passing and gives you the greater opportunity for sacks and interceptions. And, you know, I think the Bengals are going to be in pass mode in this one. So, yeah, I think they're top 10 defensive play this week.
Tags, why don't you give us two of them?
Well, I had the Packers, so that's one of them.
By the way, I'm the number two most accurate DST expert through 2 weeks. Let's go, baby. Thanks, Green Bay.
Can we say that the Jaguars are considered a streamer now?
Yeah, they've been cutting enough leagues. You'd use them.
Yeah, I would, against Tennessee without Taylor Lewan. I mean, that team, there's just too much talent. I think we saw it last week against Houston. I mean, they shut down that Houston offense. That's really tough to do. Tennessee is not that offense. They're in Jacksonville. They're at home on primetime. Jalen Ramsey is obviously motivated to look like he's still a player. Tell me you can't see a pick six from Marcus Mariota in this game.
Oh, definitely.
I can see it.
Can I throw one more possibility at
you
guys,
bring it.
Real quick? If you're really desperate in like deeper league where a lot of defenses are owned or leagues where guys keep two, what would you think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home against a guy making his NFL debut at quarterback?
That's a deep one. And
Bruce Arians has got this defense rolling. I like it.
Personnel looks better, man. Like, their secondary is not the, you know, porous train wreck.
Todd Bowles has turned around the defense. Todd Bowles, now that he's been able to focus on just the defense, like, he looks, that looks like a really good team. To be fair, Tampa Bay over the first 2 weeks have played Jimmy Garoppolo, who missed tons of throws in that game. Tons, okay? Then they played Cam Newton, who, by the way, should have had a massive game. Everybody watched that Thursday night game. Everybody could have seen. Their receivers, like Curtis Samuel, should have had a massive game. Instead, Greg Olsen has a massive game. You know, DJ Moore is fine. But that game should have been so much bigger. So I am bought into the fact that Tampa Bay is going to be much better defense than we thought. But there was a lot of miscues. But you do have a rookie quarterback going on the road to make his first start. So I can see it.
You know, there's also four defenses that a lot of people own. Cleveland face the Rams. You don't want to play them. Houston at the Los Angeles Chargers. You don't want to play them. Baltimore at Kansas City. We're not playing them either. Denver at Green Bay. We're not playing them. So if you need to pick up another defense in place of one of these, there's a lot of good streamers. Again, you can check out all the rankings at fantasypros.com/rankings. Pat, that's all for today's show. Really appreciate you coming on.
Guys, it was fun as always. Thanks for having me.
And I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Keeps. If you're one of the 2 in 3 who are experiencing a form of male pattern baldness by the time you're 35 years old, you're going to want to check out Keeps. The reviews are absolutely glowing, and you can get your first month of treatment for free at keeps.com/fantasypros. And also NFL Game Pass, where it's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. You can get your 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass at nfl.com/fantasypros. In Fantasy Draft, where the rake-free revolution is, your days of paying 10, 12, or even 15% of your entry fees to the house are over. Go to fantasydraft.com and enter the promo code FANTASYPROS for a 7-day free trial on your first $1,000 in entry fees. For Pat Fitzmaurice and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see oceanside relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy duty rotisserie or rust resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.